Thank you for listening to Chef Ann's podcast, the one article or essay during the week that Chef Ann Cooper believes is worth listening to. I'm Kate Adamick, and this week's podcast is entitled Food Fight by Catherine Mangu Ward, originally published in the Wall Street Journal. Consider, if you will, the dilemma posed by the organic TV dinner. Such microwavable paradoxes are hardly what ethical eating pioneers of the 1970s envisioned when they founded cooperative farms and tiny dairies. But in the decades since, organic food has become cautiously, steadily, more industrialized. More outlets sell organics every day. Organic milk is now the fastest-growing sector in the beverage market. And grocery store chains like Whole Foods are expanding so quickly that many suppliers have adopted the techniques of mass production, using trucked-in fertilizer and harvesting machines to keep up with demand. Still, old-school ethical eaters held on to the notion that, however indirectly, buying pre-washed, vacuum-packed organic baby carrots shipped from California somehow helped to protect the kind of small traditional farmers who started the movement. But when Walmart announced plans to introduce more than 1,000 new organic products in its stores this summer, denial was no longer possible. And that's when the organic compost hit the fan. Michael Pollan, author of The Omnivore's Dilemma, calls industrial organic food a contradiction in terms. Of Walmart's promise to sell organics at a relatively small markup, he has written, "To say you can sell organic food for 10% more than you can sell irresponsibly priced food suggests you don't really get it." As the ethical eating movement falls apart, old allies are fast becoming new enemies. They're competing for customers, market share, and legitimacy. Small farmers, their marketers, and food gurus have started exhorting ethical eaters to eat local, eat seasonal, or to get beyond organic. Ground zero for the struggle to decide who owns ethical eating in Manhattan is the shiny new 50,000-square-foot Whole Foods staring across 14th Street at the Union Square Green Market Farmers Market. The food fight is just starting, with trash talk by both sides recently reported. And it's only a matter of time before the Green Market farmers start lobbing locally grown vine-ripened tomatoes and balls of fresh Hudson Valley mozzarella across the street at the new megastore. Hundreds of Whole Foods employees, perhaps with support from nearby Trader Joe's, will retaliate by tossing frozen organic pizzas like ninja Death Stars and smashing bottles of organic Chilean wine to use the fragments as shivs. Their battle cries will ring out in the early morning air, "Eat local versus eat organic." How did we get here? Early in the organic movement, participants wanted to opt out of the modern capitalist food supply and try something more, well, groovy. But as the movement grew, more justifications were added. Some eaters got on board because they were concerned about health. They feared that pesticides, hormones, and mercury were taking a toll on their physical well-being. Others liked the idea of supporting family farms and the picturesque landscape they create. Still others decided that food tasted better and fresher when it wasn't part of the culinary industrial complex. But as justifications for eating ethically proliferated, so did the modes of ethical consumption, creating all sorts of new allegiances, not to mention more chances for sanctimony from certain elitist ethical eaters. For those worried about the effect of chemical pesticides and hormones on their children's development, organic TV dinners are a quick, easy way to do the right thing for their kids. But for consumers who fret about over-reliance on fossil fuels, those same meals, assembled from ingredients grown in a dozen countries, heavily packaged and shipped in freezer trucks, miss the point entirely. Free-range cows don't appease vegetarians concerned about the sustainability of our food supply, and people who campaign for humane treatment of farm animals don't care much about the vast amounts of energy required to import grapes from Chile. When organics hit the big time, a few movement purists realized factory farms weren't the only enemy. They began to shun industrial organic and its big store purveyors, instead favoring farmers markets. As a result, these small growers who were initially afraid that Whole Foods would steal their customers are doing a booming business. The number of farmers markets in the U.S. has more than doubled in the last decade. Most Americans, of course, remain happily oblivious to the local versus organic debate. Organics are still a small proportion of overall food sales, $20 billion out of $1 trillion. But certain celebrities are trying to draw more attention to the issue. Primatologist Jane Goodall recently published a manifesto called Harvest for Hope, in which she laments that we have been hypnotized into believing that this is perfectly reasonable to walk into a supermarket and find any kind of food from anywhere, any time of the year. She would prefer us to think about meals the way our ancestors did, to preserve the local harvest by freezing fresh fruits and vegetables and leftovers, to better endure the lean months of winter and early spring. These purists, who apparently think lean months build characters or something like that, blame Walmart and Whole Foods and small organic farmers who sold out to big conglomerates for divining organic down while giving customers a false impression of what organic really means. The happy leaping cow on the label of a gallon of Horizon organic milk, they say, is no longer representative of the real lives Horizon's cows are leading. In fact, much of the blame rests with the federal government. When the USDA released revised labeling guidelines for organic foods in 2000, a bare minimum was established. And it turned out that what Uncle Sam wanted farmers to do to earn an organic label and thus garner a 50% premium on average over conventional foods wasn't all that difficult. Additives like xanthan gum are permissible in processed foods, and many spray-on pesticides with organic precursors are completely kosher. Cows needn't be allowed to wander over photogenic green pastures. Dumping organic corn into the feed trough is just as legit. By regulating organics fairly loosely, government stepped into the middle of a contentious moment in the movement's history and wound up picking winners. For better or worse, organic is now an agricultural method that includes winter blackberries, TV dinners, and plastic-wrapped spring greens able to travel 3,000 miles without wilting. Advocates of local eating find themselves back on the fringes where they started in the 1970s and speak angrily about industrial organic as selling out. And perhaps there's truth to that allegation. But as with most sectarian splintering, the opposing sides have more in common than they like to admit. "We don't think you should have to have a lot of money to feed your family organic foods," Walmart's CEO has said. To some, this sounds like a threat, especially to the ethical eating elites who will have to find new ways of distinguishing themselves from the hoi polloi. But for most of us, it sounds like good news about better food. Thank you for listening to Chef Ann's podcast. I'm Kate Adamick, and the text for this essay, as well as other essays and articles related to school food, can be found at www.chefann.com.